The book of Revelation, chapter 4. Book of Revelation, chapter 4, where we're going to be at tonight. I'm going to try to get all of chapter 4 done this evening. Hopefully, I'll be able to do that. We finished with the seven churches of Asia last week. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, each one of the churches of Asia received an evaluation from the Lord. And that was an interesting study, did y'all think? He showed what they were doing that he didn't like. And he would give them opportunities to repent. And the Lord was seen in the midst of his churches. And I think that's true all the way down to the day. I think the Lord dwells in his churches in a special way. Well, tonight in Revelation chapter 4, we're going to look at a worship scene. And the worship scene is going to be seen in heaven. It's going to be a worship scene in heaven. And the purpose of the worship scene is for creation. A worship scene for creation. Now, just to prove that to you, look all the way to the last verse. Look at verse 11. Notice it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast done what? You created all things. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So chapter 4 is a worship scene for creation. Now, when you get over to chapter 5, you have another worship scene in heaven. But in chapter 5 and verse 9, this is a worship scene for redemption. Notice chapter 5 and verse 9, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God out of every kindred and tongue, people and nation." So chapter 4 is a worship scene for creation. And chapter 5 is a worship scene for redemption. So be sure you remember that. Many folks hold the view that chapter 4 is the rapture. If you have a Scofield Reference Bible and you read it from the bottom up, you read their notes, that's what they have. They have Revelations 4 is the rapture. I don't think Revelations 4 is the rapture. I think it's a worship scene for creation, like I already said. I think, and I'm going to prove it when we get there, that chapter 7 represents the rapture. I think it's clear that it is. So if you just keep that in mind, chapter 4 is a worship scene for creation, chapter 5, redemption. I think that will help keep you straight with regard to that. All right, let's go ahead and get into the book. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So you have a door opening up in heaven. And it says, "I heard a voice of a trumpet." I heard, as it were, a voice of a what? Voice of a trumpet. Now, when you turn back to chapter 1, you turn back to chapter 1 just for a little bit, and it's talking about the Jesus here in chapter 1 of verse 10. You got the same thing. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a what?" See, he's talking about a trumpet. So he mentions that the Lord's voice was like the voice of a trumpet in chapter 1 and verse 10. And verse 11 makes clear it's Jesus. He said, saying, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last," what you see, right, in a book. So this is Jesus speaking. And his voice was likened to the voice of a what again? Trumpet. So when you come down to chapter 4, when he hears this voice like to a trumpet in chapter 4, if it was Jesus in chapter 1, it's going to be Jesus in chapter 4. So that's what he hears. And it was the voice of a trumpet. And it says he was talking with me, or voice was the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So now this isn't the rapture, but this is if you just read it as it was, who got called up to heaven here was John. And the purpose of him getting called up was to receive the truths that you're going to see in chapter 4, 5, 6, and throughout the book. You see, this book was given to him, the book of Revelations was given to John by Jesus. So I think that's what it is. I think if you're just reading it, that's exactly what you would think. This is John getting called up, okay? So the voice of the trumpet is Jesus, and he calls John to come up hither. And he's now, I don't know if John went there body and spirit or if he just went there by vision. And I think it's probably kind of like the Apostle Paul. Let's turn to the 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And you got a similar statement with regard to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul received a vision and a revelation in 2 Corinthians. As a matter of fact, he received many of them. That's one reason why he was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. God gave him so much that he would have been prone to being prideful as a man. So he gave him a thorn in the flesh because of the abundance of visions and revelations that he received. And this could be similar to what John did. John could have been called there in spirit, called there in vision. We don't know. But whatever, either way, John seen heaven. And he received the book of Revelations from Jesus. Now notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. This is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. You notice what he's saying? Whether I was in the body, I could not tell. Whether I was out of the body, I could not tell. God knoweth. Now it says, such a one was caught up to what heaven? The third heaven is the abode of the Father. You go out on a sunny day, you look up at that blue sky, that's the first one. You go out here at night and see all the stars, that's the second one. Past there, somewhere, is the third heaven, and that's the abode of the Heavenly Father. That's the heaven one of these days we're going to go to. And you know what? Whether we go by death or by rapture, I think, buddy, when we go, boom, I think we're there. I think we're there. Now, one of these days, we're going to take a great trip, ain't we? But he didn't know in this text whether he went in the body or whether he just went there in spirit or vision. And I think probably John is the same way. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 4. So he says he was in the spirit. And whether he directly went there, many people think he did, but where he went there in vision, either way, he saw heaven. You went either way there, aren't you? Either way, he saw it. And he said, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on it. And notice how it's described in, when it says he's in the spirit, of course, I think that he was seeing a vision. Or, like I said a little while ago, he could have been taken there, but he saw it. And he had a vision of heaven. And he's telling you about what he saw when he went there. Okay? And we have it in the book. You want to know what heaven's like? You read it in the book. You know, you got people, all kinds of people write books today. It says he died and they came back. And then everybody wants to run to him for being the ultimate source in what heaven is. Right here is the ultimate source to what heaven is. This is what you go by. And I think that's how the Lord would have it be. This is whose word? God's word. That's the most accurate book and testimony that you could follow. So he was in the spirit. And when he's in the spirit, he says he sees God's throne. There was a throne set in heaven and one that sat on the throne. Verse 3. And he said, and he that set was to look upon like jasper. Now, these are precious stones. And to look upon it was like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. So it mentions a rainbow here around the throne. Of course, the rainbow was given by who? Rainbow was given by God. And of course, when God gave the rainbow in the Old Testament, that was a promise that he would never again destroy the world by water. And that's never going to happen again. But he did not say he wouldn't destroy. Matter of fact, he does say that when he destroys it the second time, he's going to destroy it by fires. But when you see the rainbow, it's a reminder that God keeps his promises. Y'all believe God keeps his promises? The rainbow's a promise, and he always keeps his promise. When he says something in his book, you can always count on it. So that's just what John... Wouldn't that have been a glorious vision to have? Wouldn't that be a glorious thing to see? It'd be great. But you know, the Lord seen fit that was wrote in a book. All 2,000 years ago it was wrote. But all the way down to Bancroft, we're talking about this vision that John seen of glory. And one of these days, we're going to see it. Won't that be a glorious thing? There used to be an old hymn that said, "How beautiful heaven must be." I tell you, it's going to be an awesome thing. I couldn't imagine this life without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of my days. Could you? What a gloomy place this would be without the expectation of heaven. You know, I was walking the other day praying at Plymouth Hollow, talking to the Lord, you know. And I told the Lord, of course, He already knew it. I said, "You know, Lord, I'm 57. I'm 57. And I said, if I live according to what the Bible says, 70, Master, that's only 13 years. I can remember when 70 years old seemed like 7,000 years old. But boy, not no more. But you know what? I don't look at aging like a lot of people do. Just each tick of that clock brings me closer to my heavenly home. All God's people say it. Amen. It changes the way you look at it. So now in verse 4, we want to move down to it. It says, "And round about the throne were 24 seats." And you see that, I give you a piece of paper. I'm going to have to go to that thing and give out all my papers, which is a good sign when you give out all your papers. But here you see 24 seats. And if you look over, of course, you got paper, that's good. I don't. I give them out all. But if you'll look, there were 24 elders, and they were all around the throne here. And the 24 elders is a picture of something. Remember, the Revelations 1:1 said He sent and signified it by John. And the word "signified" means to give by a sign, to give by a sign or a picture. And the 24 elders are a picture of something. So you have a picture, and this is John. He's seeing what heaven looks like, is what he's seeing. And he's seeing these 24 thrones around with the elders sitting on them. I'm going to show you who those elders are here in just a little bit. And then, of course, this represents the throne and the four beasts. And the beast isn't the same beast like you read in Revelations 13. Don't get your beasts confused. Revelations 13 are enemies of God's people. But these carries the idea of living creatures. Living creatures is not the same idea of the word beast as you have in Revelation. So don't get that confused. So around here is the four living creatures. And then in front of the throne are the seven lampstands. The seven lampstands. Now, one of the things I want you to remember is, does this remind you of something? Stu, you still got your paper. I need that. I'll get back to you later. Does this remind you of something? Remind you of the tabernacle. You see the paper I give you? You see, the purpose of the tabernacle in the Old Testament was it was designed after heaven. Does everybody in the house know that? They designed it to be a pattern of heaven. And who gave them the design? Who gave them the design was the Lord. And the reason He gave it for design is the Old Testament tabernacle. Of course, they put it in a palace later, which we called the temple. But the purpose of it is to show the way to who? Show the way to God. And that's what the tabernacle did. What did they offer at the tabernacle? They offered sacrifices. And people say, "Well, did them have sacrifices save them?" No. No, they couldn't be. They offered a lamb in Israel every morning and every evening. But they were a picture of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. One of the things when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." So those lambs they offered over and over again were designed to represent the Lord Jesus. And these seven, and the, if you would look at the tabernacle, in the tabernacle was a lampstand. And guess how many branches it had? It was seven. It had seven branches on it, and it's designed to picture the seven lampstands that light the way to the Lord. Now, what's the seven lampstands picture? Well, they picture the illumination of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you light. He's the one that takes your old darkened understanding. You know, before I was born again, I was blinded. As a matter of fact, before I was born again, I couldn't see. I couldn't see spiritually. But what happened is the Holy Spirit, He lights the way to God. And that's what you see Him doing here. And that's the reason why the tabernacle was designed the way that it was. So these 24 elders are pictured of saved people. Okay? Now, notice in verse 4 what color their raiment is. What color is it in verse 4? Somebody shout it. There you go again. It's that white raiment. That white raiment. And of course, the white raiment is a picture of the righteousness of the saints. I believe it's Revelations 19. But let me go there a little bit. And I want you to turn there with me. Hopefully I can find it. So all through, and I've told you this a million times, but all through the book, God's people are depicted with white raiment. All through it. Anytime you see God's people depicted, white raiment. Now let me give you a verse of Scripture, and I want you to remember it. If you mark in your Bible, I want you to mark it, because I want you to remember it. Here's a picture of the Lamb, the bride, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It says in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Now notice how she's described. "To her was granted that she should be arrayed in what color linen? Fine linen, white raiment. Fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now, whose righteousness do we have that takes us to heaven? Somebody shout it out. Jesus' righteousness. It takes 100% righteousness to go to heaven, as we say often. And that's the reason why everybody you see in Revelations that pictures saved people, like these 24 elders, pictures saved people. Revelation 7, you'll see another picture of saved people. Revelation 5, you'll see a picture of saved people. They're all presented as being in white raiment. And that white raiment is pictures Jesus' righteousness. And aren't you glad you got it? I talked to people. I witnessed to somebody. I sent to the hospital one time for somebody. And this has happened before. And somebody was, oftentimes when they're on a deathbed, they're worried about their soul. And one of the statements they made was, I'm afraid I've not done enough. Well, if that's what you're trusting in, guess what? You haven't done enough. You never could do enough. That's why you needed who? That's why you needed Jesus. If you could do enough to earn your way there, you would have never needed a Savior to start with. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and if there would have been any other way, an old hell-bound, no-good-for-nothing sinner like Jeff Arthur could be saved without the humiliating, sacrificial death of His Son, don't you think it would be that way? Jesus didn't only have to die for us, but Jesus also had to do what else for us? He had to live for us. And what happens when you ask Jesus, you trust Jesus, your Savior, He charges to you His righteousness, and that righteousness is depicted by that white robe that you see throughout the book of Revelations. Everyone that's born again, whether uses different symbolic language, the 24 elders, the 144, they all have on what kind of raiment? It's white. They washed their robes and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, God's people see it. Amen. All right, let's go back to our text in Revelation 4. So here you see these 24 elders. What color is their raiment?
White.
Well, what does that indicate to you? Saved people. These 24 elders represents saved people. This is a worship scene in chapter 4, which is in heaven. So here these people are already there. They're depicted as already being there. They have their white raiment on. Now, on top of their head, notice they have a crown of gold. And one of the things, boy, that's just a beautiful picture. One of the things that this pictures is not only are they, of course, in the Old Testament, the priest also wore all white, remember? But here the picture is not only are they priests, but they're also wearing a crown, which means they're what? Kings and priests. That's what we're made in Jesus. What are we made? Kings and priests. And here they're depicted that way. The 24, of course, when you go back and you look at the Old Testament, there were 24 courses into priesthood. 24 courses into priesthood. They have on the white raiment. You know what raiment, color of raiment was the Old Testament priests wore? They wore all white. How many courses was he? 24. But here, not only are they priests, but they also have on a crown of gold, which indicates that they are a king. Now, you go back in the Old Testament and read, there wasn't no priests that were kings other than Melchizedek. Melchizedek's mentioned in the book of Genesis as being a king and a priest. But once the king, once the nation of Israel got going, the priesthood was separate. But you know what the Lord has done for us under the new covenant? Not only are we reckoned as being kings, but we are also reckoned as being priests. You know what a priest did? They offered up sacrifices to the Lord. Now, we don't offer sacrifices, but we offer sacrifices of praise. And we offer sacrifices of work to the Lord, service to the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Let's move on down. So everybody see the 24 elders in this text and what they depict. Let's go ahead and move down to verse 5. It says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne that are the seven what? Seven spirits of God. Now, what kind of language are we using? Symbolic language. So here you have those seven lamps and they're lighting the way to God. Now, keep in mind, before the throne in the book of Revelation, you'll see, is a sea of glass likened to fine crystal. And it's solid because when you look at Revelation 7, you have a great multitude that no man can number before the throne that they're standing on. So you can imagine how the look of this, these things would be reflecting off that sea of glass. Wouldn't that be a beautiful? Can you imagine what that's going to look like? So here you have these seven lamps, and these seven lamps are lighting the way to the Lord, showing the way to the Lord. Now, notice what it says in verse 5. It says seven spirits of God. Why does it say seven spirits? Of course, there's one Holy Spirit, isn't it? But why would the Holy Spirit be likened to seven lamps or seven spirits? Are you ready? Let me give this to you now. The Holy Spirit is described in several different ways. He's described in at least seven ways. And let me give them to you. In John 16, verse 13, he's called the Spirit of Truth. John 16, 13, he's called the Spirit of Truth. In Romans 1, 4, he's called the Spirit of Holiness. So he's not only called the Spirit of Truth, but he's called the Spirit of Holiness. In 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 13, he's called the Spirit of Faith. The Spirit of Faith. In Ephesians 1, 17, he's called the Spirit of Wisdom. That's in Ephesians 1:17. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he's called the Spirit of Power. In Hebrews 10 and verse 9, he's called the Spirit of Grace. And then number 7, in 1 Peter 4 and verse 14, he's called the Spirit of Glory. Oh, God's people. Seven descriptions of what Spirit? The Holy Spirit. And he is presented as having all these different seven qualities of the Spirit. Truth, holiness, faith, wisdom, power, grace, and glory. Now the reason why that he's depicted like lamps, as I've already done said, is the Holy Spirit lights the way to God. I want you to turn to Hebrews 10. I'm going to try to do this quick, which don't mean a thing, like I said this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll talk to you about something here a little bit. Are you enjoying this tonight? If you're not, run around the church a few times and come back, and we'll see if we can't get you happy. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. What's the purpose of a lamp? Does anybody know? Light the way, isn't it? What's another name for to give somebody light? Does anybody know? It's illumination. See, this room is illuminated. Before you were saved, you were in darkness, wasn't you? Let me say it one more time. Before you were saved, you was in darkness. Just knowing the song Amazing Grace, before you were saved, the writer of Amazing Grace said, I was blind, but now I see. And you were blinded too. And I was blinded too. Couldn't see it. But the day I was saved, guess what happened to me? I was illuminated. And it's the wording that's used here in Hebrews 10. And I want you to turn to Hebrews 10 and the verse 32. But call to remember the former days in which after that ye were illuminated. You see the word illuminated? After ye were what? Illuminated. And that's what the Lord did the day He saved you. He gave you light. And I want you to give the proper glory to the one that done that. The Holy Spirit is the one that lights the way to God. That's why it's presented this way in the book of Revelations. The Holy Spirit lights the way to God. That's why you see it. That's why you know it. He gave you, 1 John, He gave you the understanding to know Him. He gave you the understanding to know Him that is true. Stewie, what He did is He turned your light on. He turned your light on and you saw it. And when you saw it, guess what you wanted? You wanted to get saved. Nobody had to force you to get saved. You want, and boy, if you couldn't pick a better example than Stewie talking about really wanting it. He got saved before the church service even started, didn't you? Yeah, he said, I want to get saved. I don't want to wait to the end of the service. I want to get saved right now. God turned His light on. He saw it. He could have died between that morning service and the later service. So He got saved that day. All God's people said. And that's a glorious thing. Who turned His light on? The Lord did. Holy Spirit did. That's why He's depicted by these different lampstands. So that's why Hebrews uses the term illuminated. We were illuminated by Him. Verse 32 again. Call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. All right, now let's go back to our text. So he saw these four, he's 24 elders. Their white raiment indicates they're Christians. They're saved people. That's why the white raiment always pictures that. And they had what on their head? Crowns of gold, which depicts they are kings and priests. Now I want you to turn over to Revelation 5. And I want you to look at verse 9. And here you have the 24 elders and the four beasts together. And they're singing, they're worshiping. And this helps you also identify them also. It says, they sang a new song. They sing a new song. It says, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Now watch this. Thou hast redeemed us to God by your blood, by your what?
Blood.
Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So you see the 24 elders, they represent saved people. They're singing a song of what? They're singing a song of redemption. What else do they say in verse 10? And you've made us kings and priests. That's why they're dressed the way they are. And that's why they have a crown on their head. They picture kings and they picture priests. And the four beasts also. If you'll look up in verse 8, and when they had taken the book, the four beasts and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors and of prayers. And they sung a new song. You see, they sung a new song. So that's the four beasts and the 24 elders. Both of them represent two different groups of saved people. The 24 elders picture the people that have died in Christ, and guess where they're at today? They're with the Lord. They represent those. Now, there's also, you think there's more there than here? Oh, my, yes. You think, I think the earth's 6,000 years old. I'm like Brother Ken Ham. That's what I think the Bible teaches. I go for my dates from the Scriptures. But I think it's important that you believe that the world is not billions and billions and billions years old. And the only reason why that ever come up is because of the evolutionary concept. God created the earth. And then when he made it, it had the appearance of age to it. So if you go by the Scriptures, we've been here about 6,000 years. And the Lord, of course, could come at any time. So let's go ahead and read. Let me read this one more time. Here in Revelation 5, he took the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They sung a new song. Now that's what I want you to see. Is that's both of them. That's the four beasts and the 24 elders. And both of them are singing what? And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So both the four beasts and the 24 elders picture saved people. And I think why they're using two pictures is because God's people are in two places. God's people are in two places. We have God's people here on earth, as I just described to you. But what's the other place God's people are at? God's people is also in heaven. The elders are a picture of the saved that are in heaven. Where are they at? They're around the throne, kings and priests, white raiment. But the four beasts, of course, represent the saved that are here on earth. We're not home yet, are we? Are we on our wilderness journey here? Right, we're still on our wilderness journey. So let's go ahead and read on. Verse 6, And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto fine crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast of a flying eagle. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within and without. And they cried out, Holy, most for worshiping, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory, honor, and thanks to him that sat on the throne, that liveth forever and ever. So you see the four beasts here. Now notice how the four beasts are described. They're described like a lion, like a calf, they have the face of a man, and a flying eagle. That's the four descriptions of these. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, and you can look this up online too, when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, remember, they camped around the tabernacle. How many knew that? They camped around the tabernacle. So you would have three tribes like on this side, three here, three here, and three here. So from what folks have read from Jewish history, and I have the paper here. I'm going to make these up for you too and give them to you, Lord willing, next week. But you see those four animals that was described there in our text. Here's the same four. Each one of these three different groups, totaling 12, each one had their own standard. Each one of them had their own what? Had their own standard. And guess what they were? One was the face of an eagle. One was of an ox. One was of a man. And one was of a lion. You say, why did they do that for? Well, you was represented by your standard. You know where your place was because your standard was there. Well, God's people's in what two places, aren't they? God's people's are on heaven. We're on earth. We're not in heaven yet. One of these days we're going to be. But we're represented there. We're represented by our standards. And I think that's what that's designed to picture. Two groups of saved people. Two groups of saved people. I think it's a pretty picture. And you go back and look, though I'm not there yet, I got a place there. And those four beasts represent, that's why they're described in Revelation 5 as being redeemed people. They picture redeemed people. We're not there yet, but we got a home there. And we're pictured just like the Israel was in the Old, because it's given like Old Testament did. We have a place. We're represented by the standards. And I think that's what the four beasts pictures. Four beasts pictures the living that are on earth. 24 elders represent the people that died in Christ that are in heaven today. So those are the two different places. Which ones are better off again? The ones in heaven. The ones in heaven. And one of these days, we'll all be there. One of these days, we'll all be there. Let's wrap this up. Let's go ahead and look on. So verse 7 explains, gives you those four different beasts. I'll give you this next week, because there was four standards so they would know where to go. Three tribes on each side. That's, they encamped around the tabernacle, and those four standards was where they knowed they had a place there. They had a place there, and that's how it is for us. I'm not there yet, but I got a what there? I got a place there. So that's the picture of it. Both the 24 elders and the four beasts picture saved people according to Revelation 5 and verse 9. Two groups in two different places. Let's read on. It says in verse 9, and when these beasts gave glory, honor, and thanks to him that sat on the throne, which liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne. So here you have a worship scene. Remember, this is a worship scene for creation. Next week will be a worship scene for what? Redemption. Two different worship scenes. This is for creation. So the 24 elders, remember, they got white raiment. They got their crowns indicating their kings and priests. They fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And what do they do with their crowns? They cast their crowns at his feet. Because he's the reason why they're kings and priests. He's the reason why they're saved. He's the reason why they have white raiment. He's the reason why they're there. So they're casting their crowns at his feet. And here's what they say in verse 11. We'll close with this. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, what are they worshiping God for in chapter 4 again? They're worshiping him for what? Creation, Rick. Creation. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame that many of the most highly educated people in the land don't believe in Bible creation? Do you know who deserves the glory for creation? God did. Why are they worshiping in chapter 4? Creation. You've created all things. And they're depicted as worshiping God because and giving glory to him because he is the creator. He made everything. Does he deserve praise and order for that, honor for that? He sure does. What they do today is they throw all that out to chance, don't they? Have you ever seen an explosion cause order? Have you ever seen an explosion cause order? I mean, if you throwed a bomb in here and you just had a bunch of pictures laying in the floor and you throwed a bomb in here, would that nail put a nail in the wall and hang them up? You say, no, that's goofy. That's right. An explosion doesn't cause order. An explosion causes disorder. God created it. It takes more faith to believe it happened by chance or caused by an explosion or got started by explosion than to just believe that there was an all-knowing God that made it. Anything you see made, you assume a maker. You don't have to be there. You don't have to see it made. I'm going to use this illustration and quit. And me and Eddie was walking down Beach Fork, and they found seen a cabin there. It was a cabin. And I said, Eddie, where'd that cabin come from? He said, well, they found that here. They found it here. They just one day, they don't know who made it, but there was a cabin they found in these woods. And we went and we took the kids up there. Some of them fell out the cabin. You remember that? Fell and rolled down the steps. But anyhow, it was there. It was there. I didn't have to be there when they made it. The fact that there was a cabin, there ain't nobody that looked at that cabin and thought of explosions caused it. Everybody just assumed that there was a maker. One human cell in your body is more complex. One human cell in your body is more complex than the most elaborate computer made by man. One cell. And you have 6 trillion of them in your body. You're a masterpiece of design. And who designed your body, who designed and made everything and set everything in order is your God. And here in Revelation 4, you're seeing worship in heaven and worship on earth because He created all things. All God's people said. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you.